Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We're ready to talk with UN former UN ambassador, former National Security Advisor to President Trump, John Bolton. He joins us here again in Philadelphia on the Rich Zioli Show. John Bolton, welcome back to Philadelphia. Thank you for joining us.
Well, glad to be back with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, Ambassador Bolton, I wanted to ask you this as a broad question to kind of see where you go with this, because it puts it in perspective about President Trump and maybe other administrations. Based upon your sense, and you've been involved with several administrations, and in general terms, ones that you know about, style and substance, which administration, when it comes to foreign policy, would get the Bolton gold standard? Which one got it right, in your view, as a measure of comparison with Trump? Who would you say?
Well, in terms of recent administrations, and certainly administrations in which I served, I think Ronald Reagan wins hands down, style and substance. And, you know, it didn't happen during his 8 years in office, but it happened very soon after that. The Soviet Union and the Warsaw Pact collapsed. The Cold War effectively ended with an American victory. Many other changes around the world, too. And I think it was Reagan's clear philosophy and his adherence to the philosophy and his determination and leadership that really did it. So I think looking at all the presidents going back to Reagan, that's an important and easy question to answer.
Okay. Now, Peter Navarro, who's one of the chief economic advisors on Fox News, talked about that you wanted to bomb another number of countries based upon, I think, 50 interviews with you in the past. I think that would be an obvious thing for John Bolton. Do you deny that? Is that true that when you got into the White House, you were advising Venezuela, other countries, to use military action?
No, actually, it wasn't. In the case of Venezuela, as I lay out in the book, the room where it happened, the person who was advocating military force there was the president. And I don't know any of the other senior advisors who favored that. What I've said consistently with respect to Iran and North Korea is that they can't be trusted. They enter into agreements on their nuclear programs that they routinely break, and that the only secure way for the United States to prevent them from getting nuclear weapons is to get new governments in there. In the case of Korea, to reunite the North and the South, and in the case of Iran, to see the Ayatollahs removed. But that does not involve the use of military force. I think in the extreme case where they actually have the weapons or are on the verge of it, that's something different. And I quote Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff Joe Dunford, now retired, much to the same effect.
So you're saying then you were not advising that, you don't remember any countries where you were advising we have to take military action?
Well, I was certainly advising in the case of Afghanistan that we not withdraw all American forces from that country, because it protects American security at home to be on the watch against the threat of terrorism there rather than waiting until they get into this country. Nobody takes the use of force lightly, and I don't recommend it lightly. And I think that's clear from my record as a conservative Republican for a long time, including back to when Peter was still a Democrat. I think Americans believe in Ronald Reagan's policy of peace through strength. I think that's been borne out over a substantial period of time, and that's the policy I advocated.
Well, the Trump policy, though, is peace through strength, even though I think you would challenge that. And to me, we have not gotten into any situation that we usually see as we move toward the Middle East and increasing Americans put in harm's way. What's wrong with the Trump policy then, vis-a-vis that? The results are not bad where I sit.
Well, there is no policy. There's a series of incoherent, unconnected, disjointed decisions that flow from where the president is on any given day. That's the real worry that I have about a Trump second term, because he doesn't follow a consistent policy. This is not Ronald Reagan, and it's not either one of the Bushes either. Look at the question of Syria. Are we going to stay? Or are we not going to stay? Are we going to withdraw? Are we not going to withdraw? What are we doing exactly with respect to ISIS after the defeat of the territorial caliphate, but where the threat of ISIS terrorism remains? What is our policy in Afghanistan and Iraq? How exactly are we going to deal with a North Korea that, after 2 years of failed negotiations, shows the contempt it has for this whole thing by a few weeks ago blowing up the building that it constructed for liaison talks with the South Koreans? We've lost now 3.5 years where the North Koreans have continued to make progress in ballistic missile testing and developing their nuclear weapons. The Iranians, certainly they're under enormous economic pressure. I think the Trump decision to get out of the Iran nuclear deal was probably the single best foreign policy decision that he made, and I was pleased to help implement it. But the Iranian Ayatollahs are still there, still pursuing their nuclear weapons programs. It's a question, I think, where you're going to have to look at missed opportunities as well as the circumstances of forces around the world.
All right, I mentioned Peter Navarro, but there have been other figures, that one of them under oath, who say they were in the room at various times when you were there with Trump. And again, Litzinger, under oath, has talked about this, Ambassador, and they say it wasn't so. And you told Brett Baer that you have a memory where you could write things this specifically, even though you didn't have the exact notes on them. The accuracy of this is under question. And what do you make about the other people who were also in the room and testifying under oath? That, to me, is pretty compelling.
Yeah. Well, I think they're all still in the employ of the Trump administration. And I've been in lots of meetings. I've been a litigator. I know people can go to meetings and have different recollections. I put down the best recollections I could of all the meetings I wrote about, and I'm happy to stand by them.
Okay. News reports today. Did you brief the president on the so-called Russian bounties with the Taliban in 2019?
Well, you know, the AP called and asked me about that last night, and I said no comment on that, and I think that's important because I don't want to talk about classified information. I don't in the book, and I can't now. But I do think that we need a discussion about what the Russians are trying to do to us in Afghanistan and really in many parts of the world, and the inadequate response that I think the president has given.
But the argument is, you won't talk about this as classified. I respect that. But what are national security issues? And again, I thought the Brett Baer interview was very good. And he asked you several times, there are things that the Trump administration says are classified here. They're at least borderline. It's a very serious thing to be divulging them.
Look, this book is embarrassing to the president in many respects. That's what telling the truth does sometimes. But the president's not worried about foreign governments reading this book. He's worried about the American people reading this book. The government itself agreed that the manuscript, after review by the senior person who's responsible for it, doesn't contain classified information. I think I'm prepared to have it stand the test of debate and scrutiny. And if they get a chance to read it, then I'm prepared to have the American people make up their minds about it.
All right. The broader point, though, Ambassador, is this. Presidents will not confide in people like you. They will not think out loud. And Trump the one or two times I've been around him, thinks out loud a lot. You could say that's a flaw or not, but there ought to be a zone here where throwing things out to you to see where this goes is not something that you put in a tell-all book eventually.
Well, Sarah Sanders has written a book about the Trump administration. Sean Spicer's written a book about the Trump administration. Matt Whitaker's written a book about the Trump administration. They all happen to be favorable to Trump. Mine is not. Do you see a pattern there? And in prior administrations, Hillary Clinton wrote a book about her term as Secretary of State under Obama. Bob Gates wrote a book during the Obama administration about his tenure as Secretary of Defense. This is very, very common. It goes back to George Washington, as I describe in the book, where Alexander Hamilton and Thomas Jefferson were going at each other tooth and toenail during the Washington presidency, and somehow poor George Washington managed to muddle through. So, look, I think in contemporary times we see it now with the leaks about the briefings on this Russian bounty effort. It happens, and everybody... Everybody in that room is an adult, and it certainly didn't inhibit me from giving my advice. I don't think it inhibited anybody else. It certainly didn't inhibit the president.
All right. Well, thank you, Ambassador Bolton. Good luck, and thank you for joining us in Philadelphia today.
Well, thanks again for having me.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.